So the next session and the final session for the day we have is coming from Alice. And before we move on, I would like to introduce you to Alice. Alice is a complex sales strategist. She is an award-winning blogger and author and also a sales enthusiast. So she'll be talking today about making complex B2B sales simple. On to you, Alice.
Well, hello, everyone. I'd just like to have you chat in if you have learned a ton today. So if you have, would you write in there, I learned a ton, because I got to jump in on some of these sessions and I cannot tell you, this has been great. Deb, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you for joining in. Yeah, I saw you in a couple of sessions. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I had a lot to do today, but I was popping in and out. So I'm excited to share with you and talk to you today about the complex sale. Now, I know not everyone on the phone today, on the phone, on the video, on the Zoom, has a complex sale, but many of these things you're going to be able to relate to anyway. So let's see, share my screen. There, so you should be able to see the slideshow, yes?
Yes, you can see.
Okay, awesome. So what I want to talk with you today about is the things that you need to do to make selling easier. Sometimes I think we just make sales too hard. We get discouraged. We get a lot of negative feedback. And sometimes it's hard to keep ourselves going and be really positive. We kind of get into what we call a slump. And what I want to do, especially now with all of the turbulence and uncertainty, I want to make sure that you can stay positive and be your very best for your customers. And I think that is what is really going to make a difference for you in whether or not you hit your sales goals or not. So we're going to talk about making the complex B2B sale easier. And there are really five things that I want to talk with you about. Being informed, adding insights, understanding that people buy with their emotions, how to map it and make it all easier, and then how to really truly lead as a salesperson. I believe that sales is a helping profession. And I believe that we all do our best when we lead instead of really trying to push and do the type of selling that isn't really very comfortable for any of us. So let's talk about what is going on with the B2B sales today. In B2B sales, more people now than ever are participating in the buying decisions. So if you have a complex sale, there are, I don't know, 8 or 10 people that have to talk to you and talk to each other to make this decision together. But there are also lots of other people talking to those people and giving them ideas. So it has become even more complicated. And the buying process has become more formalized, especially with budgets being crunched and people being a little bit more nervous to spend money. And buyers definitely want to reduce their risk. So let's quickly just talk about what is a complex sale. First of all, complex sales have longer sales cycles. So you may have some things that you sell, it takes a week, 2 weeks, oh, maybe a month, but then you've got other things that you sell that take 3 months, 6 months, 18 months in some cases. And then complex sales usually have higher dollars attached to them. So maybe you have an average deal size, you know, that's smaller, more minimum. But when you're doing a complex deal, the dollar stakes are high, and that's why you really want to win these deals. There are multiple buying influences. As I just said, it could be 8 to 10 and maybe even more people that you've got to talk to, relate with, develop these relationships with, get them the solutions. Lots of people. And there's a lot of perceived risk. There always has been, but now more than ever. We just can't afford in this current economic times to make mistakes with our money. We also have, some of us have products with technical or integration complexities that make it more difficult. So that makes it challenging. And then something that we rarely ever think of that makes our sales complex is that we have multiple influencers on our side of the deal. So as the seller, I have many people, my subject matter experts, I have my installers, I have my CEOs, I have the people who are going to deliver, depending on what you sell, right? There's all kinds of people in your company who are looking at what you're selling and how you're selling and how are they going to deliver it. And there might be legal departments that have to look at things and other financial issues. So your own company has people in it that are making your sale complex. And then you may have some other things that I don't even know about right now that are unique specifically to your company and what you're selling. So what makes it challenging at your company? Would you just chat that in for me, please? Which one of these? Now I'm going to put this up for you to see. Number one, number two, number three, number eight. I mean, number eight is all of the above. So you put the number in the chat that is making your particular sale very complicated. Maybe you have technical or integration complexities. Type in number five. Or maybe you have multiple buying influences and you have not had to deal with that before. Type in number three. So I'm seeing some different answers coming in. That's good. Keep typing them in. Choose the one that is most challenging for you. Maybe you have two. Somebody put in that they have three and four. I haven't seen an all of the above yet, but I'm waiting for that to come. Great, great. So everybody's chiming in and typing in what makes their sale complex. Now, in some cases, if you're selling something maybe to the owner of a company, maybe there's not multiple buying influences, but maybe there's high dollar stakes and a long sales cycle. So think about what it is for you that's really making it complex. All right, so it looks like we've got quite a few of those typed in. And if that's the case then, right? What we're trying to do is make it more simple. We can't take these things away. They are there. And it's not going to be easy. What I'm telling you is not to say to you, oh, the complex sale is so easy. It's not easy. But what we want to do is simplify it. That's truly the key. And so what Gartner, analyst firm that I work with, talks about is this spaghetti bowl of a decision-making process. And in that, we have so many different things that the buyers have to do. So let's say there's 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 buyers, and they all need to identify the problem. They all need to explore the different solutions. They all have to build the requirements to make sure they fit. They all have to look at all the different suppliers and then pick one. But there may be 3, 4, 5, 8, 10 people doing this. They all have to do it in their own way, in their own time. And then they all have to come together to consensus in order for that deal to actually happen. So if you're sitting there wondering, why is this so crazy? Well, look at it. It's right in front of you. This is why it's so crazy. That's why it's not easy. So we have to simplify this mess. That's truly our job as leaders, as helpers, as problem solvers, sales professionals. That's what we do. We simplify things. And so this is how you make it simple. Number one, you want to be informed. There's nothing more important because everything else falls out of this. I see too many sellers today going into these complex deals without enough information. And if they don't have all of that, they're going to get stuck at some point or caught off guard. Now, of course, you can't know everything. That would be ridiculous. But there is so much on the internet today. You can truly get a lot of the information you need before you talk to a large group. And you can talk to one or two of the buying influences one-to-one and get some of that information before you go into a large group. So be informed on these kinds of things. Be informed on the company you're working with. Be informed on the people who are involved in the decision. Be informed on the company's values and what the president and CEO of that company believe. Be informed on the industry in which that company has to operate and what's happening in that industry. What are those impacts? And be informed on the customer of your customer. That's probably one of the most important things, and it's forgotten. You're selling to someone who has to sell to someone else. And your job is to make their world better. So you've got to know something about their customers in order to do that. So be well informed, because you, in order to lead, in order to be someone who is trusted and who people want to work with, you have to add insights. And those insights come from you being informed. Those insights are shared one-on-one, and they're shared with the entire group that you have to work with. And those insights need to be pertinent and relevant. And you can't add insight if you haven't collected the information, if you're not informed. Very important. Then you have to understand that buying is emotional. Yes, it's business. I shouldn't be emotional because it's business and I should just make a business decision. But that's not the way it works. It's emotional because something's going to happen as a result of this sale. It could be really, really good. It could be just okay, or it could be really bad. And if that bad thing happens, I could lose my job. That's emotional. Each person who's involved in making the decision has emotions around that decision. And you've got to be aware of that and sensitive to it. Next, if you want to make it simpler, you have to map it. Think about this. How many times in their lives have these buyers purchased the thing that you're selling? Is this something they buy every day and they know how to buy it because they do it so often? Or is this something they may have never purchased or maybe purchased once 10 years ago? So we think they know how to buy from us. But if they have never or rarely purchased what we're selling, they don't know how to buy from us. And it's our job to lead them. So we need to make a clear map of what has to happen in order for them to buy. And lastly, just back to what I said first, you have to lead. It's your job as a salesperson to lead. And doing 1, 2, 3, and 4 are examples of leading. So this is how you connect with me. What questions do we have?
Thanks, Alice. Thank you so much for a great presentation. We have lots of questions coming in. I'll take those up for you. So the first question is from Kiran. He asks, so does influencers are important in sales, and do they add to the buying decision or create confusion?
I didn't understand which kind of influencers. I'm sorry.
So probably Kiran wanted to ask, like, if there are too many people, right, who are influencing the particular sales decision, does that add up to, you know, buying a particular or making a particular purchase decision, or does it add to the confusion?
So the more people, the more confusion. There's just no doubt about it. But there's no way for you to be in control of how many people they want to be involved in their buying decision. What you can do, though, is ask and continue to ask, who's involved, what kind of information do they need, and what is the best way for me to get them that information? And so that will simplify it out. But If there are more people, yes, because there's more questions, there's more emotions, there's more direction, there's more people who have a stake in the ground for the thing that they want. So it's absolutely more complicated.
So the next question is, does referrals make sales easy?
One of the things that I teach salespeople all the time is to please stop. If you don't have to cold call, don't. Look, you might have to cold call. You're going to have to send some cold emails. Yes, of course. But don't do it unless you have to. First, see if there's someone who can introduce you. Now, if you have a client that you've done a fabulous job for and they love you, they are going to be great reference for you. They're going to make an introduction that will really help you get the sale. So absolutely, whenever possible, get a referral. Get someone to make an introduction for you and also to brag a little bit about you and what you did for them so that that person, that prospect is very interested.
So how does the deal structure affect simplifying the B2B sales?
So deal structure is different at every company. And some deals require a lot of contracts, and some of them require very detailed proposals. So anytime you have a complicated contract or a very complex proposal, that's probably going to lengthen your sales cycle. Anytime something's gonna have to go through legal, it's going to take a couple extra weeks. So we have to build that into that map I was talking about when we talk to our customers and we say to them, what is the delivery timeline on this? And they tell us the delivery timeline, then we have to back everything up from there. And all of the steps are going to have to happen in the right order, in the right time to hit that delivery. Now, if we know our contract's going to be stuck in legal for 2 weeks, we have to build that in and be very clear with our customer that, you know, maybe the timeline is going to have to be flexible. So, you know, it's important to really understand the structure of your deal is absolutely going to impact all the complexities.
So I have a sales team of 200 people. I'm planning to set up sales operations team. Can I know know how and what factors should be taken into account before setting up the sales ops team?
Yes. Yes, you can. And I think this is very important, especially when you're starting from scratch to set up a new team. What you want to do is think about the customer first. So how will you best serve your customer? And you would then want to develop your, you know, your sales operations around that and take that into account as you're hiring. So if your customers, if the sale to your customer requires you talking to a lot of higher level people in an organization, then hiring young people fresh out of school that don't have much experience will not be a good way to set up your sales operations. You will need more senior people. You'll probably need teams of senior people and subject matter experts and customer success experts. So we really want to build our sales organizations in teams that can best serve our customer from our customer's point of view, not how we think they should be served, right?
Right.
With the customer's perspective in mind.
So the next question we'll take up is, does aligning sales and marketing contribute to an uncomplicated sales process?
Oh, do we have 3 hours to talk about this? Because I don't know what to tell you. We need to align sales and marketing desperately. We need to align again around the customer and what the customer needs. So sales and marketing can provide the language, the content, the continuity, the frequency that the customer wants. And so will it make the sale more simple? Yes, in some ways it will, because if we know that these are the steps that we'll have to go through to close a deal and marketing can align with sales and provide the right content at each step of the way, it will help the customer make their decision.
So the next question is, what are CPQ, Configure Price Quote Solutions, help taming the complexity of sales?
So what are the CPQ, configure price quote solutions, help taming the complexity of sales? I'm not sure I can answer that because I'm not sure what exactly is being asked. Configure price quote. So if someone's asking you for a price quote, so here's the danger of price quotes. If I don't have enough information about what the buyers are trying to accomplish at their company, I may make a price quote that is not a good fit. We always assume that companies want the lowest price, but that's not necessarily true. So I always want, when we're talking about price, I do want to know, do they have a budget for this? If they don't, where do they expect to get the budget from and when? And when I talk to them about what is most important, first of all, I want to know what are their biggest challenges? And out of that, then I want to know what is most important. If price is the very first number one thing, then I know whether, first of all, I want to bid on that or not, or work with them, because maybe I know I'm not the lowest price and that's what they're looking for. Then I want to say that I am not, that we would not be able to serve you. If they say, you know, there's three factors, one is some, you know, two, and then three might be price. Then I know that those first two are more important, and they'll be willing to pay more to get those. So of course it should be priced fairly, whatever it is. But you know, whoever asked that question, if you want to contact me on LinkedIn and give me more specifics around that, I'll be happy to answer that more thoroughly and specifically to your company.
So I think we'll take one last question, Alice. So the question is, I'll just post it again here. How to reduce too much information from ruining sales?
Yes, too much information can absolutely ruin your sale. It can prolong your sales cycle. It can really turn people off completely. So how do you reduce that? Well, first of all, you don't know what to say about your product or service, your solution, about how you can help until you thoroughly understand. And so when we're talking about a complex sale specifically, there's all these complexities we need to understand before we start offering solutions, right? So we shouldn't be talking yet. We should be, the only thing that come out of our mouth is questions. And then we're listening to the answers and writing them down and thinking about them. And sometimes we have to say, I'm going to have to come back to you with some more information. So less talking is better. We want them to talk and tell us. And I really want to know, what are their main challenges right now? And what results do they want from, you know, from a product or service they're going to purchase? And how will that change things? And when I hear all of the answers around that, then I can talk. And I'm going to use those insights. Because I've already gathered a lot of insights and I've got that. Plus what now they've just told me, so I can now configure some solutions and ideas that I can share out that are going to make a difference. So I really want to let them talk first.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you so much for joining in and answering all those questions for us. We have a few more questions, so we'll take that up probably offline. I'll send those to you. Probably you can send us answers for the same and I'll pass it on. So thank you so much again for joining, and thank you everyone for joining us today for this session.
Hey, thank you for watching the recording. Do check us out at Ampus B2B Bench for more such killer content. Also, don't forget to go to www.amplus.com and book your free demo for Ampus Enterprise version to rank your next customer.